the realization that I had in my own business was realizing how quickly my vision was changing and how I wasn't noticing that. And so I was trying to run with the same offers, the same team, the same business structure. And I was quickly outgrowing it because my vision had changed, but I hadn't yet, you know, taken the time to recognize that and realize that. So I think that's the first thing I want to say. Like, just, you have to know where you're going and constantly be like reevaluating that because it can change.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. My name is Kim, your podcast host, business mentor, and audio storyteller. This show is a space to inspire through conversations and community to help us keep connected, keep inspired, and keep moving towards our goals. Expect to hear honest conversations and real life experiences from entrepreneurs at every stage of business and from a wide range of industries. Find your confidence, see what is possible, and build the legacy that you have dreamed of. Let's get started. Hello, Tatiana. Thank you so much for joining me on the call today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you on. I've been a follower for a while, and I just love the content that you put out and your expertise. So I'm excited to jump into the conversation today. Can you tell us, just start off with who you are and what you do and who you serve?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Tatiana, and I am a team operations and leadership development coach and consultant. And I work primarily with small business owners who are either looking to build their team for the first time, or they already have a team, but, you know, lacking some efficiency, or we just don't properly know how to lead the team. So that's really where I primarily serve. And then I have kind of a separate division, if you will, where I work with more corporations on helping them to build up their first-time people leaders.
Yeah. So you do like quite a mix between in-person and online too, if I'm right.
Yes. Yeah. So I have VIP days that I do with my clients in person. I'm trying to get out and do more speaking engagements in person as well. And then sometimes with my one-on-one clients, we'll even have certain times where we meet up depending on like our location.
Yeah, that's such a nice mix because it's so nice to be able to meet people. Like the energy is so different, right? Like when you're meeting in person.
Oh, and absolutely.
Yeah, all that good stuff. So that's amazing that you offer that. There's like this quest for where do we start when we're looking for finding more time in our business, and, you know, the like lessons that you've learned that really have jumped out to you. And yeah, these are real issues that come up. It's not just hiring a team is one thing, but all the other things that fall once you have a team are another. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I think when deciding that you want to build your team, right, you want to have people around you to support you, to help you take your vision to the next level, there's just so many things that need to be considered that often are not considered. We kind of skip straight to, I need people, so I'm going to find people. But I think having a really clear vision for where you want to go overall in business, but also just in this next chapter, this next year, this next quarter, that's really important, because when you don't have vision, it's really hard to lead your team in the right direction. But I think me personally, the realization that I had in my own business was realizing how quickly my vision was changing and how I wasn't noticing that. And so I was trying to run with the same offers, the same team, the same business structure. And I was quickly outgrowing it because my vision had changed, but I hadn't yet, you know, taken the time to recognize that and realize that. So I think that's the first thing I want to say. Like, just, you have to know where you're going and constantly be like reevaluating that because it can change.
Yeah, absolutely. But also like this illusion that hiring more people to work with you is going to create all of this white space now on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a flip side to that, right? Because
yeah,
it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like there's a lot that goes into running a team, and it doesn't matter how big or how small, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we have this idea that when I hire more people, I'm going to be on the beach in no time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, you know, working 10-hour weeks in no time. And while some of that can be true, right, you can get to a point where you're working less, you can get to a point where you're able to vacation more often, we also have to realize that while we might not be doing the nitty-gritty tasks, we do have other things to do now. We have to lead the people. We have to give them the right direction, right? We have to manage the vision of the company, like I was saying. And then also just like ensuring that standards are being met and upheld essentially in your day-to-day. So it's almost like your time can be filled with other things. And I think that's definitely like an unspoken part of this like time liberation concept, because it's not that you hire people and then you don't have any work to do anymore. You could do that, but you won't have a team very long. They're not going to last with you very long. So
it was interesting. I spoke to an entrepreneur. I don't even think she's 30 yet. And she was incredible. And well, she is incredible. She's a private chef, but she also has like two other businesses that, you know, fall under her platform now. Mm-hmm. And so we were having this conversation and I said, are you able to do what brings you joy still? Are you able to still get in the kitchen and do all the things? Because that's why you became a chef. Like, so I was just kind of curious because I watched and read some of the information that you had in regards to this. And I thought it was really interesting that we were able to have this like coffee connect call virtually. And I was able to meet her and have this conversation in real time. And she was like, you know what? Like, I have a head chef now. So I don't have to go in the kitchen as much. But she goes, I still tiptoe in there because if I don't, I'm losing why I started this and the whole, you know, place, right? Why did I actually get into business as a chef? It was because mm-hmm. I enjoyed the art of creating in the kitchen. And so she said, it's something that I often have to remind myself. And I think that's interesting. And I wonder what your perspective is when you work with entrepreneurs and see this. How do you keep the joy in what you're doing when you're hiring a team? Like, does it get lost in the middle? Can it be found again? Is there any easy steps or is it just a learning in process?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think first of all, I would say that this happens to a lot of people. So if you find yourself in this place, I think the most important thing is to not blame yourself or feel like you ruined something or you messed up. I think it's just a natural phase of like playing around with delegation and like learning what's too much and what's not enough. But I do think that there's just this narrative out there. And I'll be honest, early in my career, I probably played into that narrative of like replace yourself, right? Like we want to build you a team so that you can replace yourself and pull you out of the day to day. But really, the day to day is what lights a lot of people up. We just wish we didn't have to do it as much. We wish we didn't have to be on all the time. And so now the way that I kind of like advise my clients when they're building their team and mapping out like what tasks they want to get off of their plate, if they're in some sort of service delivery business, then I recommend they keep like one to two of your higher caliber, higher profile clients, just so that one, you can like stay in the thing that you like to do, but with way less like, you know, responsibility of working with 10 clients. But then also so that you can kind of like keep an ear to the street, so to speak, and know what your clients need. A lot of us want to train other people to do our sales calls or whatever your sales process is. We want to hire other people to do sales for us. But again, like if you start to lose sight of your own process and you start to lose sight of like what it means to actually do the service that you do, it's going to be hard for your people to sell and it's going to be hard for you to teach them how to sell. You can almost work yourself out of your business in a bad way. So, you know, just really easing your way into it. Now, if you are someone who wants to be completely out of the day to day, there is a way to do that, but that's going to require a different level of leadership from you because you're going to have to remain tapped into the business through your team versus the thing that a lot of us do is we just kind of pull back altogether and we just say, oh, my team's got it. I'm logging off. Like they don't need me anymore. And that works, but 6 months to a year down the line, you really start to feel it. And then you're fighting, you know, against the current of your business to find this passion again that we didn't even have to lose in the first place.
Yeah, good point. And I think it's really important. And that's how I've been kind of looking at it too. I can only hang on to a couple of retainer clients, but they're the clients that I really enjoy listening to because mm-hmm. I do podcast editing and production, and that's a part of my role. And I don't actually, my time I'm finding as I'm aging and as I've gotten, you know, a little more experience under my belt with this whole entrepreneurship thing is that the reason why I did this was to amplify voices. But I also want to spend my time listening and enjoying the conversation and getting some value out of it. So I'm really picky who I hang on to and who I continue to work with, because that's a lot of my time and energy, right? So I don't want it to be so exhausting that at the end of the week, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Right.
So that whole thing of preventing us from stopping completely and losing that joy, there's so many levels there, right? It's not just hiring the right people. It's how are you running your business day to day? And I think that's so important. And another piece that you had mentioned was losing that vision, or the vision, not losing the vision, but also the vision changing.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I know it's hard for us, like, you know, this is our energy and we've spent so much time involved in creating this structure. And when that changed for you, how long did it take for you to realize that, okay, like, wait, like we need to put the brakes on here because this is not where I want to be anymore? Because that's hard. That's really difficult.
Well, if this is a safe space, then I'll be honest. So first let me just say a big part of my vision changing revolved around the fact that my husband and I had our first baby in January of 2023. And so throughout my pregnancy, I kind of like had my blinders on and I was just focused on planning for a successful maternity leave so that I could actually be out and be present at home and not, you know, be on Zoom calls in 3 weeks postpartum. So that was like my main focus. And I think I'm very type A. So I think because I was so like focused on the prize, I kind of didn't allow myself to see what was happening around me. So I tried to like push through it when I should have leaned into it more. And so it started in really subtle ways. It started with, you know, we would have a launch for this particular like conference that we would host a couple times a year. It was my favorite thing to do. And I noticed that the last time we did it, I just wasn't, my heart wasn't in it. I wasn't showing up for the marketing. I put my slides together very last minute, which is not like me at all. And afterwards, I didn't really follow up with people about whatever our call to action was. And that was the first time I just kind of realized, like, I don't think I love this anymore, but it's just a feeling. So I'm just going to push through it. And so as I got closer and closer to my due date, I was really just starting to pull back more and more, letting my team take over more and more. That's when I really started to feel like I didn't really know what was going on in the business unless we were on our meeting and I was getting an update from my team. My team was incredible. They took a lot of ownership. They were very like bought into the business and the vision of the business. So, you know, massive shout out to them because they really carried me through such an uncertain time in my life. But then after my son Elias was born, like literally everything just kind of flipped upside down. And the biggest realization was that I didn't want to run my coaching program anymore. And Grindaholics Anonymous, it was really the foundation of my brand. It was what people know me for. And that was the primary way that I was serving my clients at that time. And so when I came back from leave, we decided to close the program. We kind of reincarnated it into a shop of digital products that people can now buy. I did have to make the unfortunate decision to let go of my team. But in hindsight, I knew that I needed to do it about 6 months prior. But again, me just thinking about my plan and my maternity leave and all this stuff, it was like, well, I need my team. You know, how am I going to run a business without my team? And so, yeah, it's a very long-winded answer. But just looking back, there were so many super clear indicators that things were changing and things were shifting. And because I didn't listen to it, it honestly caused a lot of issues coming back from my leave, you know, and a lot of stuff that I then had to sort through on my own. When had I just kind of leaned into it sooner, like, I don't know, I think things would have gone a lot different. Of course, I have no regrets looking back, but yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you're being super honest about this because we need to hear that. And it's okay to change. Like life's it's happening for all of us. And having your first baby, like child, having a family, that needs to take priority. Your mental well-being needs to take priority. There's so many different stages, right? And I'm looking at that in this end stage. I've got, you know, two young adults. I got my youngest is graduating and I'm going to be like, me and my husband are going to be at this whole different end of the spectrum. Yeah. They still need us, but in different ways. And this is an opportunity for us to be able to live our life differently. And we haven't had that opportunity for 20 years.
Right.
So, it, you know, like life happens at all these different stages. And I think we really need to be open and honest with ourselves and think about that.
Workplay is the last branding solution you will ever need. Your Workplay team is your brand photographer, your brand designer, social media manager, and your creative direction bestie. Here to make your Pinterest board dreams a reality with one system, one team, and one flat monthly fee under $500. And no, there's no catch. Your brand is your power. Workplay wants to help you create it fiercely. DM me on Instagram, Workplay, to learn more.
So when you help entrepreneurs and business owners, do you tell them to look at things like quarterly, every 6 months, to make sure that they have a check-in point to be able to like really be honest with themselves and with their team to see where things are and where they need to keep moving forward? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's definitely something I recommend looking at on a quarterly basis. I have like a quarterly review that I teach my clients. And obviously you're looking at your metrics and, you know, your numbers, that kind of thing. But also looking at how the vision may have changed, if there's any shifts in our core values or what we stand for as a company, any additional needs that we may have around our team, whether that's bringing more people on, additional training and development, potentially letting someone go. So yeah, just kind of like looking at those things each quarter. But then in addition to that, I would say after any major life events. And that's not something I think I previously would have taught my clients, but you know, it wasn't until it happened to me that it really clicked, like, oh, like,
yeah,
having a baby, losing a loved one, getting into a bad accident, like all of these things can really shift your perspective on life. And absolutely, it's important that we hold space for ourselves to, you know, just reevaluate things.
Yeah. And be kind, because things do change and evolve, and maybe they're for the better. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, like that was great in that moment, in that chapter of your life. But what's next? So
yeah,
looking at that, because I try to be as optimistic as possible in my day-to-day, looking at it through that lens, how do you operate your business now? Like, what does a typical work week look for you? And what are the positive things that you have seen with this change that has happened for you and your family?
Yeah, well, I would say first, I just have a lot more mental capacity now. I think because I had such a strong team, like people on the outside looking in really admired the culture that we had built and how efficient we were, all the systems that we built. But I think because we had so many systems and so much efficiency that it almost started to feel like I was becoming an employee in a way. Like I didn't feel that same like freedom. I felt very limited. And now I feel like I have the freedom to kind of come up with new ideas and not put a lot of pressure on myself for them to perform immediately. My day to day looks a lot different. Every day is different, whereas before I feel like every day was the same. And so, yeah, I typically kind of split my time 50-50 between the online business that I have built where I serve small business owners and then my B2B efforts and what I'm trying to do and build over there. I have a book of like, you know, current one-to-one clients that I work with. So I manage my time three different ways. So that's working with my clients that I currently have and supporting them. And then I would say like outreach and follow up with people that I want to work with, more so on the corporate side. And then marketing, like I'm getting back to creating content again. I just launched this free thing called the Team Talk Hotline, where people can call 1-833-TEAM-TALK, or they can write in on the form on my website and ask any of their like team and leadership questions. And then I answer them in the form of a reel. And so like I'm back to creating content consistently again, whereas before, like I'll be honest, my team created every single piece of content that went out for at least a year and a half. And so I even felt disconnected from that. So it's just been fun. I feel like I'm in a season of play right now, if I could describe it in any way, like just playing around. I'm seeing what works and I'm seeing what feels good for me. I'm not bound to any specific timetable. I mean, obviously I have calls with my clients that I have to be on, but yeah, I don't have like a super strict schedule the way that I used to. So, But, you know, I also want to say it's not rainbows and butterflies. I do want to have a team again. I do miss having support. It is all on me now, so I can only grow as big as I can take it. So I do look forward to rebuilding my team, most likely towards the end of this year, but definitely in a different way.
Ah, that's so exciting. So many layers there. I was totally going to lead into what you already just briefly mentioned. This new concept of being able to phone in this hotline. I love the marketing. I love all the graphics that you're using. And the concept is super cool because even when you're doing a podcast, it's really hard to get that direct feedback, right? For people to be actually able to ask questions. So for you to be able to answer, you know, when people have all these, because most people have these same questions. They're just maybe too afraid to ask, or they don't know how to ask it. And so I love this idea. Was it something that you had been thinking about for a while? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah. Well, so the idea kind of came to me around like November, December of last year. And my thought process sometimes doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It just comes together at one random moment. But really, it started with me thinking about my goals for 2024. And I knew that I wanted to get back into creating content. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to recreate community because I felt like when I closed my program, I really lost that community aspect. But I had no desire to do like a membership or anything like that. So, you know, wanted to create community. And then I also really wanted to lean into thought leadership this year. I do try to speak on podcasts as much as I can and speak on stages, but I was like, how can I create thought leadership within my own platforms? And so thinking about those three things, I immediately felt stumped because I was like, I'm always running out of content ideas. When I don't feel excited about my content, that's when I stop creating. That's when I like ghost my Instagram for a month. And I was like, man, it would be nice if people could just tell me what they want to hear. Yeah. And so, of course, I thought about how you can put like the little question box on your stories, but people don't always write into those and it's limited character. So, you know, and it just came to me. I was just like, man, what if people could just call me and tell me what they wanted to know, like call me and tell me their questions. And so, yeah, that's how it all came to be. Once I decided it would be like a hotline, I almost immediately put that together with the rotary phone, you know, the old school dial-up phone. And then once I had that, I typed it into Pinterest, you know, hotline, rotary phone, and I kind of got this like vintagey vibe. And that's how I really started to build the direction for the video shoot, which my husband did. And we did that in our living room with an orange backdrop.
Stop it. Seriously. What a fun creative duo you two make. Just being able to see that vision followed through. Like, how fun is that? And the other cool thing that I was reading about it is that there are three ways. Now, you said you can phone in and ask, but you can also write in, like just through an email. And then you can also ask anonymously. So you could like kind of get it with an upgraded version of it just being just to you privately, I should say. And I love that because I think it's just another way to tap into your expertise, to tap into your world. Another way to engage. It's just, I think it's so cool. Is there a favorite question that you've had so far that's come in?
So we're still like in the early stages, but honestly, I think my most recent question was probably my favorite. And in short, she basically is a business owner who has a unique events-based business model, makes anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000 a month. And she has like five or six contractors plus a team of four interns. And so my first thought was, we're definitely overpaying on team. But her question was, I have all these people. If I add up how much I'm paying everyone, I could afford a full-time employee. So should I just switch to a full-time employee? And I love that question so much because I think a lot of people get to that point as they start to build their team of contractors. So yeah, it was fun really getting into the answer of that because it's probably not what you're expecting. Because my thought was, no, like you should not hire a full-time employee, not at this stage, not at this revenue level, not with the ups and downs of the event industry. Instead, I want you to focus on streamlining the way that you run the business, kind of trim the fat of some of your social media. I think she had four different people touching social media and just focus on running a leaner version with your contractors. And then when we get, you know, when we double or maybe even triple our revenue, then it might make more sense to take on that risk of a full-time employee with payroll taxes and all of that. But it's just been so helpful, one, for me, because it's shown me how I have just been creating the wrong type of content. Like, I have not been talking about the things that people are actually struggling with. So it's given me that insight. But then also, under every single response video I post, there's at least one person that's like, wow, I needed to know this too. I was struggling with this too. So yeah, that's my favorite question so far.
No, it's like I said, it's such a great concept. And if anybody's listening that's curious about finding a little bit more details about how it is to like work with you and some answers are probably there. So go check out Tatiana's Instagram posts, find out and listen. And how often do you do them? Like once a week?
So the promise is once you submit that I will have your video up within 3 to 5 business days. So it really just is based on volume. So this week I've had a bunch, but the hotline just launched. So we'll see like how things kind of go. But yeah, my goal is to have like 2 to 3 posted per week. But, you know, just depends on submission volume.
So cool. And what a great way to get in real time market research from your ideal clients like today. So anyways, I think it's brilliant and continue having fun with it because you can absolutely see it, you know, when you do the videos and the few that are up there already. I'm like, yeah, there's the spark that you could totally see and you're having fun. And at the end of the day, that's why we created these jobs, right? That's why we created these businesses is to not only be able to create revenue, but to also have fun. Because if we're not having fun, why are we doing this?
Exactly.
9 to 5 and not worry about things at the end of the day, right? But yeah, I think that's brilliant. How do people, outside of Instagram, I'll have all the links, but are there any other ways that people can learn more from you? How do they find you?
Yeah, so my website is TatianaOhara.co. There on the website, I have my free guide to tough conversations. So if you're ever struggling with having a performance type conversation with a team member, or if you have to let someone go, that's a great opt-in. And then that'll get you on my email list. And that's where I, you know, communicate mostly with my audience outside of social media.
And before I let you go, I love ending just with a reflective question. What does, I guess, because things have changed and shifted so much in your business in the past couple of years, what does success mean to you now?
That's such a good question. And it's interesting because even just before I answer, I'm like just reflecting on all the different iterations of success that I've had in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, success to me means finding the balance between getting my clients what they need and being able to provide solutions that have substantial impact on their lives, while also being able to create a life of flexibility for me and for my family, so that I can be present with them. And so that we can do things that we want to do without worrying about how much money is in the bank. So success is way less tied around like a dollar amount or a certain amount of revenue, but rather just having the ability to have options, I think, is really important to me right now.
Yes. And I don't think that will ever change. That flexibility and that knowing that you can show up at 9 or show up at 10 in the morning, depending on your energy level or what the needs are with your family. That's huge. And yeah, I think it's so important that if you can build a business around that, like that's it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed this conversation and I hope people reach out and learn more from you.
Well, thank you so much for having me and I'm excited for everyone to hear it.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so on your favorite media player. And come check us out over on YouTube, where you have full access to our episodes on video there. You can check out the important links mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. And please join the conversation over on Instagram at May and James Co. I'll see you next week.